this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I feel so privileged and blessed and awed and honored to have the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Sharon Callahan with us, a world-class animal communicator, and who works with animals the world over and with many animal sanctuaries, including elephant sanctuaries, and many veterinarians, and who is an author, and we'll talk about that more later. I just feel like I don't know how to introduce you, Sharon. I just want to say thank you so much for all you give the animals and for making yourself available in this way.
Oh, well, thank you for all that you do for the animals, too, and I'm just so happy to be here today with you.
Oh, thank
you. Especially with Valentine's Day coming up, because I feel, for myself, and I think for so many people who love animals, it's really a day of celebration for the animals, because so often they give us more love than anyone.
They do, don't they?
They certainly do.
You know, while I'm thinking of it, somebody sent me an email for these two beautiful labs, a black one and a golden. And their names are Cookie and Coco, and they love each other. They're devoted to each other, and the people are moving, and they can't take the dogs. And I am with all my heart asking for the perfect loving home for these two beautiful labs. The sweetest, most precious, most gentle and adorable dogs I've ever had have been Labradors.
And Iris, you sent me their pictures, and all of that love and devotion that you're talking about comes through when you look at them.
They are two wonderful dogs. I just love them. I can't stop thinking about their sweet, precious faces. And it would just be devastating for them to lose each other as well as their humans.
And Iris, where are they?
They're in Pleasanton, California.
Oh.
But, you know, these people are devoted to these dogs, and I think they would help make it easy for someone that was the right person.
Well, I would certainly encourage any of our listeners who have any interest at all to email Iris and have her send the pictures, because they're just beautiful dogs and have a very, very special quality about them.
Yes, they're two very sincere dogs, aren't they?
They're very sincere. And beautiful faces and shiny eyes.
I know, and I just I want every animal to have let me give my email address. It's miracleshp, that's short for happen, at yahoo.com. And, you know, if you know of somebody that might want them, Sharon, I just keep thinking about them because I love labs.
Oh, they're so wonderful. And they're good with cats.
Are they good with cats?
Yes, they generally speaking are.
What about bunnies?
Bunnies might be a little trickier, but I think these two particular dogs would be fine.
Do you?
How do you?
Could you just check and see how Heidi would feel about this? I really don't want to be mean to my cats. You know, I have seven cats.
Heidi says her feelings she wouldn't want to discuss with us on the air because it might because Don might cut us off.
So Heidi basically votes no.
That's it.
Okay. Heidi rules, I tell you. I'm obedient to the all-beloved Queen Heidi.
You must describe Heidi to our our listeners.
Well, she's a little, she's very, very little, but she looks big because she's Persian, and she's orange, and she has one of those real pretty little baby faces, not the real pushed-in nose, but just, you know, she has about a quarter inch of nose, and she's, when you pick her up, she's like a little bag of feathers.
Yes, she is.
And I just want to say Valentine's to Heidi. She feels like heaven when you hold her against your heart, doesn't she, Sharon?
She does, and I've had many opportunities to hold her against my heart. She is definitely love incarnate.
Yeah, Valentine's to Heidi this
Except
week.
Except maybe when it comes to bringing dogs into the house.
Well, she did this really funny thing. My son Jay bought a Mastiff, and he brought it over. This is like it. He brought this dog over on Thanksgiving for the weekend, who wasn't housebroken yet. And it was quite an adventurous weekend, but this little dog, I mean this huge dog, Heidi saw her and ran up to her and did the horse dance. Right in her face, and it was like, listen, kid, I run this place. Don't give anybody any crap, or you're out of here. I mean, she was just, and she was dwarfed by this huge, you know, she was 11, 12 weeks old, but she was like five times Heidi's size. Heidi was looking up at her threateningly.
Heidi says she doesn't feel little.
No, she doesn't. And I do whatever she says. Well, that's my Valentine for Heidi. How about let's do a little Valentine for Lotus Moon?
Well, I would first, I think, first offer a Valentine to my beautiful Lily, who's almost 25 years old. And she just has been so instrumental in my life, I don't even have words for it. I just thank her so much for coming into my life. She's right here.
Lily.
If it wasn't for Lily in my life, I really wouldn't be doing any of the things that I'm doing now. I wouldn't be doing the animal communication or the flower essences. She's truly responsible for all of it. And then I have a Moo little kitten, almost 6 months old, Lotus Moon, who I just love with all my heart. She's the apprentice of Lily, the lowly apprentice. Did you hear Lily? She said, yes, lowly apprentice. And Lotus Moon is just absolutely precious, too. So I have this beautiful senior cat energy and the beautiful energy of a kitten in the home, and I can't imagine anything more wonderful.
Well, Lily says, you know, she may break all records and live to be 40 or so. Or
well,
she
I
may
wouldn't be surprised.
Or she may rejuvenate.
That's right.
And then sell that in a bottle for all cats everywhere.
That would be wonderful.
Lily says cats are just really, really getting into their stride when they're about 15.
That's it. Yeah,
you know,
just
they're
beginning.
Just about to have the humans trained. Isn't that it, though?
That's it.
Well, going back to Lily, did she come to you when you were very ill?
She came to me actually before that.
Kind of give that progression of
well,
events.
It was actually really absolutely incredible. I mean, I had gotten out of a very bad marriage and had taken an apartment, a tiny little apartment on my own. And I had been not feeling well for a number of years, but not quite knowing what it was. And the condition was getting worse and worse. And I had been taking care of a group of feral cats in the alley behind my apartment, which was up on the second floor of an apartment building, and this one particular litter of cats, which Lily was born into, there were five of them, I'd been feeding, and it was approaching winter, and I was concerned about how they would do through the winter, and so I made them little shelters, and I very much respect feral cats because I think they do a very important job, which is something we can come back to and talk about. But of the five kittens, Lily was the one that on her own, one day as I looked out my window, she climbed all the way up the stairs behind my apartment. There must have been 60 stairs. Little tiny girl, she climbed all the way up those stairs and meowed for me to let her in.
How old was she?
She was probably maybe 12 weeks old, 11, 12 weeks old.
Wow.
And she meowed to let me in. The first month she was in the house, she wouldn't let me touch her. So it was an incredible thing because she really, I feel, was following a parallel course to mine. You know, she had given up the life that she knew outdoors with her mother and her siblings and had made a sacrifice to come inside and be with me.
And you said all cats everywhere.
Yes, and I had left the life that I knew to strike out on my own. So the short version is that Lily was with me through a very serious illness and a near-death experience and was really instrumental in guiding me through that whole process. And it was from that experience with Lily's company during that time that the animal communication work started, and I began to make flower essences, which I now market and sell all over the world through my nonprofit foundation. But to me, if there's any example of the love, the deepest love that one could experience, especially as we come close to Valentine's Day, Lily is really it. I mean, if it weren't for her, I don't know that I would have made it through that time, you know, much less tapped into my life purpose. And as I talk to people every day, people all over the world, I hear such similar stories, you know, maybe not quite as dramatic, but so many people, like a woman wrote me today, a beautiful email that her husband had died after a long illness, and she was saying that if it wasn't for the love of her two dogs and her cat, she just didn't know how she would have survived it. So over and over and over again, I hear people expressing their incredible gratitude for the love of the animals that just endures through everything.
Well, I have had a similar experience. I lost my beloved, precious husband in 2007. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, the line just sounded a little funny for a minute. But I actually feel that he sent treasure.
I do, too.
Can we share about treasure?
Oh, treasure is... Well, of course, every cat would argue that they're the greatest, but Treasure is one of the most spectacular kitties ever, all white. Iris and I were here in Mount Shasta, where I live, and we went into the Humane Society.
Well, wait a minute. I was actually guided to go there.
Yes.
By a reincarnate dog.
That's right.
A Labrador that I had had. And I wasn't too sure about getting a dog at that time. You know, I need to move and all these different things. And I just wasn't too sure about getting a dog at that time. But I had adored this lab. And she told me she was there at the pound.
It was a trick.
Yeah. And I called up and they said, yes, we have that exact dog.
Mm-hmm.
So then I asked Sharon and Joanna, my friend Joanna, to go with me to the Humane Society because it's not easy.
It's not easy, no.
No, it's not easy to go in there. And but we did. So go ahead.
We were very brave. We went in, and I don't, you know, I can't even remember because it's so much of my memory is treasure. Did we look at dogs?
We looked at dogs, and they said, I actually looked for a dog for my sister-in-law.
Yes.
Because she had been talking about getting a little dog. But as soon as we got there, I asked about the lab, and she had gone home with someone just a few minutes before.
That's right.
Yeah. And so then we saw treasure, and he reached out his paw to me. And you said, this is the real reason you came, and he is an angel. He's never been on Earth before. And everything about him is angelic, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. He's just as precious as can be. And more precious the older he gets.
See?
He just keeps that beautiful, innocent quality to his detriment at times. He comes face to face with coyotes. He just thinks they're puppy dogs.
Well, shall we talk about that? Because you've been going through this a little bit with Lotus about, you know, letting him out.
Right.
And I just feel like trust Allah and tie up my camel, too.
Yeah.
And so I let him out, like, when I'm just around the back of the house,
mm-hmm.
and if he goes behind the fence, I just sort of stand guard. I'm ready to run back there and, you know, protect him if need be. But mostly the other cats just stay right around the house.
Right.
He takes off as soon as he gets out. And I sort of feel like I don't know if I would make it without him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I do. I feel that way about my kitties, too. It's, and I think with treasure, it really does have something to do with him never having been incarnated on Earth before, because he's, number one, just thrilled to be here and so excited to explore every part of life and just doesn't really understand that there are some dangers out there.
Sharp teeth.
Sharp teeth, yes.
Well, I'm just working with him on that, and, you know, I really talk to him every time he goes out there because I want him to have freedom, and I also don't want to have my heart ripped out and torn up.
Right.
And I feel like if I wasn't real careful with him and then he did get killed by coyotes, I would have a really hard time forgiving myself.
Right.
And, you know, I want to, what is the mission of coyotes, Sharon?
Coyotes are actually absolutely wonderful. I mean, they're just incredible beings. The coyote in the medicine cards is the trickster, which is really interesting. It's like the, what would it be, like the Joker in the Tarot?
Uh-huh.
So they're actually, if they're around your house, they're very good luck, really, because they tend to bring up all kinds of unconscious fear we have. You know, everything from what you're saying about fear for treasure, because he doesn't know any better than to want to go up and take a close look at them. But in many other ways, they will tend to bring whatever our fear issues are to the surface. And
oh, thank you. I'm so appreciating that. Thank you.
And I mean, I think your question is probably partly about predators in general. And I think really predatory animals, it's a very interesting topic because really, almost all of the great spiritual teachers have said that the predatory nature of animals is simply a reflection of the predatory nature of human beings. And that when we stop being predatory, they will. But it doesn't mean just each one of us as an individual, because certainly, Iris, you're one of the the most loving people I know, but it means that enough of humanity has to stop being predatory, that the whole collective consciousness shifts in the direction of non-harming. And when that happens, really, there won't be any more predatory animals because they won't need to reflect that part of our dark side back to us.
Well, a couple things. Well, four or five things I have about that, but I want to ask you, like, one is, you know, I have felt for a long time that hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and all of those things are accumulated discord of
humanity. It's the
humanity.
Same, yeah.
It's the powers of nature and forces of the elements.
That's right.
Playing back to us our collective consciousness.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And anger and eruptions and discord. Okay.
It's all a reflection of human consciousness.
Okay, and I know that, did you get my email about Joel Smith? Joel
no.
Goldsmith? Well, I didn't think so, but I have, I know you are a long time student of Joel Goldsmith,
yeah.
Who I had never heard of until I met you, and one of the things he says is that every appearance is the dream, that
yes.
That if we really tune into what the reality of God is, there was never any death, there was never any disease, there's eternal life, that's the truth.
That's the bottom line.
And there's only good.
Yes.
So when, you know, we have been studying Ho'oponopono, you
yes.
And I, and using it, and what I'm very interested in is as you use Ho'oponopono, this kahuna healing taught by Dr. Hugh Lin is that just by doing these four simple steps, it transforms the situation.
It does.
Okay. So how can we apply, just recently I found out what they do in chicken egg processing plants is they sex the little chickens, and the brand new baby chicks never get to scratch behind their mother. They're just sexed, and all the little boys they just throw in this hopper to suffocate.
That's right.
And I think predator is defined as anything where we're living on an animal's suffering.
That's right.
And so when you encounter this, I'm trying to bring the Hugh Lin and the Goldsmith stuff together. When you encounter this, like, I was just horrified, little baby chicks, you know? I would rather see them be able to scratch and grow up and be Kentucky Fried Chicken than that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just such a horrible waste of life, but when I see it, the correct way to view this is it is a dream from memory. This isn't something that's true.
That's right.
And to make it disappear as an untruth in this reality, do you just say, I'm sorry for creating this dream?
You don't even have to elaborate. You just do the I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you.
To the animals.
Well, to everyone, to
the people that are doing
to
that.
To the animal, to the people that are doing it, to everyone.
Yeah. See, you know what I'm really concerned about, Sharon? I'm really concerned about people that could sit there all day and just throw baby chicks into a hopper.
Of course, the thing, though, that we have to remember is that The whole world that we experience in its imperfect state is a world of duality and judgment. And so we don't want to fall into the position of judging people or situations as good or bad. We don't want to make enemies. Because if one believes in reincarnation, then all of us, over the countless lives that we've lived, we've all done horrible things. And the only way to remedy it is to remedy it by loving the entire situation, both the abused and the abuser.
Well, what Joel Goldsmith says and what Dr. Hugh Lin says is there isn't any outside. If I see it and I believe it and
right.
give power to it, it's something that I've created in my dream and only I can get rid of it.
That's right. And who was it that said, was it Dr. Hugh Lin? I think it might have been in the book where he said, or it might have been Joe Vitale said that, that he suddenly noticed that whenever he was, there was a problem, he was there. That kind of covers it.
or if I wasn't there, somebody had the gall to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I told him when he was on the show, I told him I always thought that being a spiritual teacher meant that I was going to have it all together, and then I was going to give out the tools for other people to get it all together. I didn't know I was still going to have to do dishes and clean all the time. That's what the Ho'oponopono is. It's cleaning.
It's cleaning.
Like, and it's also so wonderful because, like, if I see the dog poop, guess what? It's my job to clean it up.
That's right. Or it wouldn't be in your awareness.
Yeah.
And so that kind of covers whether it's actually in your experience or someone has told you about it or you read about it.
Wait, say that again?
It kind of covers what you were saying. You know, sometimes our experience is one that's actually presenting itself to us in our reality. Sometimes we're being told about something negative by another person or we're reading it. So there are many ways that things can come into our experience, but if it comes, it really is ours to clean up.
Well, because it couldn't come unless part of us believed in that.
That's right.
So you're also saying to the people that can throw baby chicks into a hopper all day and get money for it is, I'm sorry for seeing you as cruel.
That's right.
Please forgive me for seeing you as cruel. Well, you know what kind of how I think about this? Is, like, if I am seeing somebody do something as ungodly or cruel,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like this. When Sonny was a little kid, he wasn't interested in toys at all. And when he was 6 years old, he wanted a three-piece suit with a bow tie, and he wanted police handcuffs. And then if kids played with him, I don't know what he was, a private investigator or a cop or something, but they had to be handcuffed. And so I think with the Ho'oponopono, we're seeing people as handcuffed if we see them as cruel.
Right, because the four statements, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, it clears the mind of memories, our individual mind. It clears the collective consciousness, the collective mind of memories. And it clears the pain body, the individual pain body and the collective pain body. So really, if you do just that one thing, if you really do it consistently, your life will change in just a few weeks because you'll begin to see every situation in its perfection and its beauty. And just as Dr. Hugh Lin's work shows, he did a lot of work with people in mental hospitals. It really changes people.
Yeah, and, you know, I asked him, I said, what about, you know, so basically you're going around teaching everyone to do miracles. He said, that's not why you do it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I did it for one reason, to know and to feel and to be one with the peace of God.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's important is that I am one with the peace of God. And I said, yeah, but you can't deny all these secondary miracles that are coming from it for everyone.
I think what he means is just that none of us as an individual does any miracles. The miracle is already there when we get the memory out of the way. The miracle is pre-existing. So there's no need to use the word miracle or anything. You just do the work. And
yeah.
Then you're in a state of grace. And everyone that you come in contact with in every situation becomes filled with grace.
Well, you know, also, Sharon, I think it's really important for those of us who are still feeding meat to our animals.
Yes.
I just keep, you know, finding a higher grade of things and offering the vegan cat food, which took seven of them 6 months to eat a bag.
But they did eat it.
They did eat it. They just crunch on it, you know, every once in a while. And I just offer that with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I don't give them canned food. I only give them baby food. And when I do, and it's chicken, and I love chickens. I love grown-up chickens. I love baby chickens. I've had chickens as pets. They're adorable.
They are adorable.
And the way I became a vegetarian is I was sitting looking out the window one day with my family eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, and my little pet chickens came up and looked in the door, and I said, oh, my God, we're eating their friends.
That's right. What a revelation.
I know, but, you know, my friend Alice said, oh, they probably didn't even know each other.
They probably did. In some lifetime or another.
But when I open the baby food, I say to the chickens, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love you.
That's right.
And then I ask for a higher way.
Right.
A transformed way for all life, for the chickens, for the kitties, for everything.
And one of the things that I can see clearly in my own work is just that, I mean, if you consider the average person in the world is a meat eater, doesn't really care about animals, thinks they're to be used. So, I mean, we're really very fortunate to live where we do with, you know, a large number of people that have more sensitivity than that. But you see, the collective consciousness has to shift. And it's not just people that are growing in consciousness, but animals are also. And what I see is that I have more and more clients all the time that have vegetarian animals, and it actually does work. Because the newer souls that are coming in, they just have a different program. They have different DNA structure. Their bodies require less and lighter food. That's true of people. It's true of animals. It's challenging in a situation like yours where you have so many kitties that are, you know, used to getting their baby food. But now what I'm seeing is these new little kittens and puppies that come in, right away they take to vegetarian food if that's what you offer them. So things are changing in an amazing way. And, of course, in the meanwhile, we do the I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you, if we have to transgress from non-harming in order to feed our animal companions.
Wow, transgress. Ooh.
But I find, like, with little Lotus, my kitten, she gravitates towards vegetarian food. I mean, I feed my older cat fish and chicken, like you do, baby food. and I do the I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And if it's right under her nose when I feed Lily, Lotus will eat it. But if it isn't present, she'll eat the things that I eat, which are vegetarian things. So it really is different. I can clearly see that I have, you know, two completely different generations of kitties, a 25-year-old cat and an almost 6-month-old kitten. And they're very, very different. Just like the, you know, the incredible kits we see coming in, the indigo and crystal children, they right away have got it down. So it's just, things are changing and they're changing fast.
They are, aren't they?
They really are.
Wow, you can feel it.
You can feel it.
Well, I didn't finish about your book. I think it's a very important book. I know you're writing another one, but this one is something I really recommend for everybody that has animals. And it's a great gift to give to people that have animals. It's Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening. No, Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening.
It's quite a mouthful.
Yeah, by Sharon Callahan. And I just want to say there have been so many miracles for my animals with you, Sharon. There's a great interest in doing everything kindly and humanely.
Yes.
And we got termites. Tell the story about the termites.
Oh, I went to visit Iris in the whole house, I guess, but mainly in the kitchen, you could tell, because the floors are light colored, were just covered with termites. They're just everywhere. And, of course, Iris, out of the kindness of her heart, wouldn't kill a flea. So we were tiptoeing around all these termites. And
I will kill fleas and ticks, I'm sorry.
And we did some prayers and meditations and affirmations, and we spoke to the termites, and they were gone.
And they said to you, Sharon, that they were in shock because they had never been treated with respect.
That's right.
And it turns out there's all these fallen trees right behind our house up on the hill.
Okay.
And we just asked them to go up there, and they did. And you know what the alternative is. You know, they come out, put that stupid tent around your house.
Oh, it's awful.
And then poison the whole thing.
Right.
And then you bring your animals back in and every surface is poison.
Right.
No, thank you. I don't use poisons of any kind. You just don't know how far they go.
That's right.
And I want to urge everyone to quit using all poisons and quit using all things that are tested on animals because...
And really, insects in particular, I mean, so many pesticides are used on insects, and they really are very easy to communicate with. As Iris was saying, you know, they're the least, the creature at the bottom of the list of other beings that are loved
concerned with them.
Loved and respected. And so if you speak to them, whether it's fleas or ticks or termites or cockroaches, if you really address them with love, they pay attention, and they'll try their very best to be cooperative or at least to leave your environment. Maybe go to the neighbors.
they have the... once in a while, there's one flea or one tick on the cats, but there used to be, I would comb them, and there would be like 200 a day.
You're kidding.
I would get off of each one. And I started using your flower essences, the Be Gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use, and I really recommend people do this, a tumbled amethyst in their water.
Yes. Very powerful.
And the fleas just don't like that vibration that it gives the kitties.
That's right.
Or dogs. And I so much want to urge people not to use Advantage and those horrible things. I mean, can you imagine if you had something under your skin that killed everything that came in contact with it?
It's just a horrible idea.
What would that do to you? And I also wonder what it does to people that are petting these animals.
Can't be good.
No, and you have all of these energy vortices in your hands.
That's right.
That are connected to every organ. So I think that's a big part of global warming is using pesticides.
I do too.
And we just need to stop. I was thinking the other day how killing things is considered a solution to so many things.
Oh, I know. I know.
And it just isn't.
It's for anybody that's interested in our relationship with insects, a friend of mine, Joanne Lauk, who's a school teacher and a professor, wrote an incredible book called The Voice of the Infinite in the Small. And it's the history of the relationship between human beings and insects, which doesn't sound like a very exciting topic, but the book is absolutely magnificent and really addresses so many of the things that we're talking about. And one of the things that Joanne says in her book, she interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people for her book, and she said so many people, young people and old people and people in between, said that they had killed bugs because they looked creepy and they didn't know what they were, so they killed them, you know, without any thought at all. And I think that really one of the things that's so important is for us to extend our compassion from our own families and our animals to the insect kingdom and the plant kingdom and to the earth itself.
Yes, and really look on all of it with the eyes of love. And, you know, people need to be still, really still,
yeah.
And listen. One day, and this is the kind of thing where you could say, oh, this didn't happen. But I was in the pool, and I saw this little, he was one of those little see-through sort of crickets with real long, silky-like antenna.
They're incredible, aren't they?
They are, and he was drowning in the pool, and I saved him with my kickboard, and he was right on the edge of the kickboard, and he's looking at me, and I heard him go, thanks, and he waved.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my God, I didn't hear that. I know I've been talking to animals and all, but this is a cricket. And he goes, you heard me. And he waved with the other little paw.
Isn't that darling?
It is. And I was just totally blown away. And I felt so much love for him. And I felt so much love coming to me that
right.
I noticed him drowning and saved him.
One of, the very first experience I ever had communicating with an animal was with a praying mantis when I was about 5. I was out in our backyard, and my cat at the time had cornered something in the corner of our patio, and I got down on my hands and knees at cat's eye level to take a look, and it was a praying mantis, which to me, you know, from the view of a 5-year-old, he looked like a little space creature or something.
A small dragon.
Yeah, and my cat was trying to get him, and the praying mantis was waving her arms, and while waving her arms, the cat was looking at me directly in the eye, and she clearly said to me, don't let the cat kill me. I have a family to take care of. And so I reached out and I picked her up, and it was really kind of a scary thing because she really did look to me like a space creature, but I reached her up and put her on a the branch of a willow tree, and she turned to me again and she said, "Thank you, I'll return the favor one day." And every few years since then, that was when I was 5 and I'm now in my mid-60s, every few years since then, when I've gone through a kind of transitional period or there's been a great change, either inner or outer, a praying mantis will appear. And I don't see them at any other time. And I really feel that each of those appearances is that praying mantis or one of her emissaries coming to return the favor by acknowledging that I'm going through something and supporting me.
Wow.
It's really just like an angelic visitation.
Wow. I just really want to encourage people that might be facing financial challenges and things and having to move to keep your animals with you.
Yes.
They are maybe next to your children the most precious things in your life. And I talked to a woman that was really depressed just at the gas station one time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this dog who started to bark at me when I would go away from the car.
Oh.
And the dog said to me, she told me she was going to give the dog away because she had to move to an apartment and it wasn't fair to her. And the dog said to me, "Don't let her give me away. I'm all she has. And if she doesn't have me, she will kill herself." The dog was very clear.
Right.
And I had to deliver this message. I didn't say anything about her killing herself, but I said the dog would rather be with you and in an apartment than able to run someplace else.
Almost every animal would rather be with you no matter where you're living, even if you were living in your car. Because the animals that come to us are really like sacred guardians, and they are part of our abundance because they're very attuned to our divine blueprint. And if we give up an animal that's particularly one that's been with us for many years, I mean, it really is literally like we're disconnecting from our own divine blueprint. And rather than get better or problems resolving, we'll actually end up having more challenges without the animal.
Huh. You know, one of the reasons for that, I think, Sharon, is that animals give us so many opportunities to pour out love.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, I've really thought about the reason people love being in love is because they're busy pouring out love.
That's right.
And that's our real need.
That is our real need.
And so animals give so many opportunities to do that because they love us so much.
That's right.
And it's so uncomplicated, you know. Like, I had, in seventh grade, a guy broke up with me because I got a frizzy perm. You know, and you can come home with your frizzy perm. Your dog is going to love you.
That's right.
You know, and you know, the gladness they have in present time, the joy they have in present time, it's so easy to make a dog happy. Take them for a ride and let their lips flap in the wind.
Yes.
You know, it's so easy. It's so easy. And I think that same happiness is available to us and we can tune into it. By simply being with it.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it very good, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You explain it.
Well, I think we can tune, particularly during challenging times, we can tune into our own joy by tuning into the joy of the animal because they're so happy with so little, such simple things. Just a kiss or a pat on the head or a walk in the park, all things that don't cost anything that you can do whether you live in a palace or a little tiny apartment. And the woman that was moving into the apartment with her dog, you know, she might have found that living in an apartment, needing to take her dog out for a walk, she'd get more healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a gift in every circumstance.
There really is. There really is. Shan, I wanted to go back to this book, The Voice of the Infinite in the Small, and it's by Joanne Lauck.
Joanne Lauck. It's L-A-U-C-K.
L-A.
And it's really fantastic book. Greatly overlooked because most people feel that they wouldn't be interested in the subject matter. But it isn't really just about insects. It's really about human relationship with all other life forms and how we have to love everything. And how much we lose when we exclude certain species from the circle of our love. And it's just full of incredible stories from people all over the world, from different cultures and countries and religions, and it's just wonderful.
Okay, The Voice of the Infinite in the Small.
And a lot of people send me books, and most of them I read and I pass along, but that's a book that I keep, and I go back to it over and over again, and you can open it anywhere and read something just incredibly fascinating.
Like your Joel Goldsmith book?
Yes.
Did you read the book about Dewey?
Yes.
Did you love him?
Dewey, what a beauty.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about Animal Soul having a mission and tell what happened with him.
Well, Dewey was found, I forget what state it was. What state was it?
Iowa.
Was found by a woman who worked in the Iowa Library. And Dewey, as a tiny little kitten, was stuffed through the book return slot. And when the woman went to empty out the books in the morning, it was just an absolute frigid winter morning.
15 below.
She heard something make a sound, and she thought, oh, it was an animal of some kind. And then she thought, well, maybe it was a chipmunk. And so she reached in, down into all the books, and she pulled out this adorable little cat. And he ended up being world famous, being the library cat, and literally touching people all over the world with his story and with his love, and just an incredible part of the library system for years and years.
People came from all over the world to see him.
They did.
And nobody was disappointed.
Nobody.
he died a couple years ago, but I would have gone to see him.
Oh, I would have too.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
And really, it's one example of how many animals help people with their businesses. I mean, you know, more and more, at least where I live, more and more shops and businesses all the time have a resident dog or cat. And a lot of people think, oh, well, how nice that they've taken the animal in. But usually it's quite the other way around. The animal was really sent to them. You know, in my case with Lily, I mean, she was really literally responsible for bringing me through an illness that almost caused my death and putting me in touch with what I was really supposed to do in life and giving me the courage to do that.
Courage, boy, Sharon, you left your marriage with absolutely no money in your pocket, and you were ill.
That's right. I only took a backpack and the cat I had at the time.
That's very brave. That's very brave.
It was really to save myself, because I got to a point where I thought if I'd stayed one more day, I would just die.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't worth it going back.
I am so glad you didn't, and I just want to tell you thank you for being here, and thank you for being here today, and we're out of time, but tell people how they can reach you.
I can be reached at www.annaflora.com. You can email me directly there, and anyone who does, I'd be happy to respond or answer questions or whatever. And how can people reach Iris?
MiraclesHP@yahoo.com. Thank you so much, Shanna. Will you come back again soon?
I sure will. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you to all the animals for being our forever Valentines.
Yes, thank you to the entire animal kingdom.
And also, I just want to say, Sharon's book is Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening. And thank you for listening. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible.
Yes.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. All men, all women, all children, and yeehaw!